Testing 1, 2, how you guys doing? Well, thank you for coming out here on a Saturday morning. That's a pretty awesome thing. We understand the importance of getting together, having a meal together, men coming out, and just hearing from God this morning. So that's what we're going to do. I'm excited. I waited till the last minute to prepare the study. But in doing that, before we get started, I just want to share this with you guys real quick. Like Brian said, every Monday night, God called me to an addiction ministry. So we get together and we open up the Bible. We go through the book of John, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And, you know, it has its highs and its lows. We've been able to have some people come. And right now we're in a little bit of a dry time right now. There hasn't been a whole lot of people coming. So we're going to kind of change the focus. We're going to focus a little bit more on the family of the addict. You know, people that have someone in their life that struggling with drugs and alcohol. Everyone knows someone. So just want to throw that out there. That's every Monday night at 7 o'clock. And the Lord's about stretching, right? So I was super uncomfortable to start that up. And still at times it can be pretty uncomfortable and nerve-wracking. And so last night I was setting some time to get in the Word just to hear from God. It was really what it comes down to. And I kind of felt like, because a lot of times I'll have notes, and I'll write tons of notes, and I can find myself just kind of leaning on those notes and holding to them. Of course, they kind of help keep the flow going of a Bible study, right? And I'm sure Brian uses them occasionally, and I've seen other pastors use them. I've seen some that have not used notes, and I've always wondered how do they do that without notes? And last night, I felt like the Lord was just telling me to trust Him. There's a verse that we're going to be coming upon next Monday night, and it's in John 14, and it says, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name," this is Jesus speaking, "he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all the things I said to you." So I'm going to trust that God is going to, in His Holy Spirit, if we believe in Him, He gives us His Holy Spirit. He calls it the Helper, Comforter. And that's like our channel to God. He uses the Holy Spirit to convict us and to bring to remembrance the things that He spoke to us in our life. So, and hopefully, I'm hoping that happens for last night, my time studying and spending time with Him. So, I'm not going to use notes, and I'm terrified, so bear with me. So let's pray, and then we'll get started. We're going to be in Psalm 95, which is another thing I've never taught out of the Old Testament. So the Lord, I don't have a title for this, but I think part of it would be getting stretched, being uncomfortable. I heard something on the radio recently where the pastor was speaking about how we want to live a comfortable, peaceful life, right? Don't we all? And we're okay with a little bit of a trial here and there. I mean, as long as we can get back to that comfortable, peaceable life. But really, the pastor said, he said that it should be the other way around. We should be living a life with trials and have moments of peace and comfort. And I really got to thinking, I was like, wow, that's true. If we're really following after God, we want to live for Him. We want to be where He has us to be, serving in ministry. I think that we all should be serving in some ministry, whether it's at our home, leading our family, or somewhere that God's called you in the church. It's going to be uncomfortable at times. Addiction meeting, very uncomfortable at times. But through that uncomfortable times, He stretches, and that's where we grow. That's where we get challenged. So let's pray, and we'll do some growing here. Lord, thank You so much for this morning. Thank You for the time I got to spend with You this week amongst a crazy busy life. I know that we all have busy lives, and we get so busy with the things of this world at times, or maybe it's just family and just a bunch of things going on, sports. But we can't forget, and you are so humbly to remind me, so gracious to remind me, that we can't forget to spend time with You, because that is where You speak to us as men. You tell us, You remind us, You instruct us, You show us what You want us to, where You want us to go, who You want us to be. I was super blessed last weekend to hear from General Jerry Boykin and his call to get up and fight the war that's going on. And we know that the enemy is preparing his troops, but You are preparing Your troops as well, Lord. And You've already won the war, the battle of sin and death. And so, Lord, we have that victory already. So, Lord, I trust you this morning. I pray these men would hear that the words that I'm speaking this morning is what you've spoke to me. And I just want to relay that to them. And I pray that we would hear what you have to say this morning, that it would be something that would impact our lives personally and corporately as a body. So, Lord, I trust you now. I thank you for your word. I ask that you would be here with us. Your Holy Spirit would be here with us. And we love you. We thank you for this day. In Jesus' name, amen. All right. So I'm not going to try to bust out into any raps or anything, but sometimes I might throw a little slang out there. But let's get into it. Psalm 95. I've never taught out of the Old Testament, or I have one other time, but the Psalms is not. Psalms are great to just kind of read and kind of hear. You know, we know David wrote a lot of them, and they're songs. They're songs of worship to God. And through that, what I've noticed about David when in these Psalms is you start reading them, and a lot of them, a majority of the time, he starts out with what? Worshiping, singing songs, right? He starts off exalting him. You know, our Father who are in heaven, holy is your name, right? The model prayer, it starts out with worship. When we come to church on Sunday morning, it starts out with worship. And then all that stuff that we carry throughout the week that is on us, and we're just maybe where our mind's not in the right place. It kind of, you start when you're in worshiping God. You just kind of let that stuff I'm just going to put that away right now. I'm just going to forget about it, and I'm just going to focus on God right now. And I love that, because once that happens, once we can get rid of all that burden, all that worry, all the things throughout the week, and we can just focus on Him, then you start to feel Him speak to the innermost part of you. And it's awesome. And I see that in the Psalms. I see Him worshiping, and then I see Him kind of getting down into some details. So let's see. Let's start here and see if we can get through it, because I have a lot and I don't have a whole lot of time. So, oh, come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to Him with psalms. So the first thing we see here is He's saying, oh, come, right? So let's come to the Lord. We go before Him, His presence. Let us sing to Him, right? I now, 30 years old now, I can say for 100% certainty that I believe that music was solely created to worship God. I think that is why He gave us the gifts and the talents, and He gave us instruments and music so that we would get together and we would sing and honor worship up to Him. And so we see that here. He says, let us sing to Him. Start with worship. And let us, I love that word us in there, right? We can sing to Him on our own time in the shower, maybe out in the car, but there's something when you get a body of people together, His body, believers, and they sing together. I got the privilege to go to a pastor's conference last year, and it's something that I heard. You got to hear this. This is going to be cool, right? So Brian told me this is awesome, but your words can't really explain how awesome it was to have, you know, 1,000 men in one room all singing praises to God. It was moving, and I just remembered by putting in the CD, and it just kind of brought me back there. It's really moving, and we get to do it together. There's power there. There's unity. Now, I think that's how God wants it. He wants us to be unified when we worship. And He says, let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation, right? So if we're going to worship, we're going to come before God. It's not like we should be shouting, like, you know, shouting louder than the person next to me. But I think it's just you should be excited, right? We should be excited to be able to come in His presence and to sing songs to Him. We shouldn't be all down and depressed and, oh, I have to sing songs. I'm here. I have to come Sunday and kind of sing the song maybe I've heard on the radio, but it's something that we should be shouting joyfully. And the reason where that joyfully comes from is because He is the rock of our salvation. He's the cornerstone. He's the foundation, right? He's that solid rock that we have to, that's where it comes from. When you start to understand that He is our rock, He is what is constant in our life. If you have a relationship with Him, which I would assume everyone here does, but if your relationship's struggling with Him, think about it. Are the things that you've been doing, are we building it on the rock? Are we laboring in vain? And there's a parable that talks about, you know, building on the sand. And, you know, many of us have probably been there where we've done things in our life. We put a lot of effort into it, and it was all in our own effort, and it doesn't last. So he is the rock of our salvation, Jesus. I love that. I love that the Psalms even speak of Jesus. It is a matter of perspective. I see this as Jesus, we shout joyfully because Jesus is our salvation. And so let us come before his presence with thanksgiving, right? And this is a matter of, it's really a matter of perspective and understanding what God's done for you in your life, right? We should come before him, his presence. That's why we get here. That's why we come here, right? We come here because we want to feel God's presence. We want to learn more about him. You know, heaven is going to be, it's going to be heaven because God is there. Jesus is there. And his presence is there. What would heaven be if God wasn't there, if his presence wasn't there? That's what we need in our lives. We can have that in our lives here while we're on the earth. We can have his presence here. We just prayed this morning that he would be here. His presence would be here. And when you feel his presence, when you experience the things that he's done in your life, the goodness, what should our response be? Our response should be thank you. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for saving me. And it should just start out, that's how a lot of my prayers start out. You know, thank you for this day. Thank you for this. Thank you for that. We should be thankful in all things. But often, you know, in my life, I find myself complaining about certain things. So just remember, when we come before his presence, we should come with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. There's a psalm. I just want to read through it quickly. It's Psalm 1. There's tons of them. But Psalm 107 says, "Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endures forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy and gathered out of the lands, from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a desolate way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses, and he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city for a dwelling place." Oh, that men would give thanks to the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men, for he satisfies the longing soul, and he fills the hungry soul with his goodness. And so I think he's talking about, you know, Israel and you know, wandering. They were wandering in the wilderness, and they had nowhere to dwell, right? He had them out there for 40 years, but he showed his goodness to them. He reminded them of, you know, why they're out there. But often they would forget to thank him for bringing them out of slavery, out of bondage. And we can kind of get that ungrateful heart over time. Maybe it's just things in life aren't going that good. Maybe it's work, marriage, whatever it is, and you just kind of put that by the wayside. But we should be thanking him, and because there is going to be a city that we go to. It's going to be the new city, and there's going to be a rest. And that's kind of the rest of this study is going to be starting to talk about, you know, God created this earth. He created us with his hands, and he created us to labor, to work, but there is a day of rest. So let's read a little bit more about that. It says back in Psalm 95, it says, and then the last part of verse 2, it says, "Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms," so with songs. And so, "For the Lord is the great God." Sure.
So for guys, we should do more than lip sync during worship.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I see a lot of guys stand there stoically, but then after they come to church for a while, they loosen up and they're willing to at least lip sync. But you're saying it should be more.
What I'm saying is, if I were to look back at my life heavily influenced with hip hop and rap music, when I first came to church, I found it extremely difficult to sing songs that from a different style of music. And it was a thing in my heart is what it came down to. And so I had pride and I had hardness in my heart that I can't sing to this because this isn't the type of music I listen to. Yeah, I understand that the words are edifying, But I struggle with that for quite a few years, and I know people that that struggle with that as well. And so but once you realize that it's not about us, it's not about my style of music, yeah, we kind of like certain pastors because they have a certain style. We kind of like certain music because they have a certain style, but it comes down to the heart and just us and God. So yeah, it's getting out of your comfort zone again, right? Maybe we don't all have great voices. We don't like to sing in front of other people, but it's not even about the other people. It's just about us and God. And so he brought me to that place. And even every once in a while, I'll still kind of have that, you know, like, I can't get down with this song, right? But it's not even about that. It's just about that worship. The yeah. It's not even about me. Yeah, it's not about me. It's not about us. So once we can get that perspective changed, then that's where the blessings come in. I feel, you know, just worship can be just, it can be very peaceful. It can be rejuvenating. It can bring you to another place. I mean, it can be a high in its own. For those that chase drugs and alcohol and that high, there, I challenge those people that have chased after that high to chase after the high and the pleasure of just worshiping God. It's a very peaceful serenity. So for the Lord is a great God and the great King above all gods. I love this verse because he's a great God. He's a good, he's a merciful God. But then it says that he's a great King, right? He's sovereign. He's just. He governs the world. He's in charge of all the governments. But he's also, yeah, and above all gods, right? So government could be considered a god, a lowercase g. Notice that. It's a lowercase. He's the great God. This doesn't say he's a great God. He's the great God. And he's king of all the other little gods, the man-made gods that we have on our earth. He reigns over all of that. And so we need to take that into consideration in a world we live where you'll hear a lot of different gods, but even people that rule the world, maybe not a religion, but you know, even the government or the president, whoever we tend to elevate and worship, you know, our God is a jealous God, and he wants our worship to be to him, not these other man-made things. And so it says, in his hand are the deep. So this next part is just kind of talking about how great he is, how great he is. It says, in his hand are the deep places of the earth. The heights of the hills are his also. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands form the dry land. So if we can understand that, you know, what I teach them that God created the earth, the land. We teach it here in the children's classes. You know, his hands are the deepest places of the earth. There's no place that God can't see, or where he's not there. The sea is his. He made it. He formed the dry land. So it's really just that proper perspective, you know, understanding that God exists outside of time. He is the beginning and the end, right? There is no end with him. He's infinite. And it kind of just like it starts, it's for us, right? Just to get us to start thinking about how much bigger and more powerful he is than us. So a lot of times we can get that deluded by being on this earth and being wrapped up into the things on this earth. You see maybe a powerful man or a powerful woman in this earth. You think, wow, that person has a lot of power and control and money. But that's nothing compared to God who created all this earth. He created everything. And then look, in verse 6, he goes right back to worship. He says, oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Right? So bow down, kneel. It's not, you know, you're not thrown on a big show, and again, that's all about yourself. If you're trying to get up and throw on a big show and do acrobatics and falling backwards and putting on a big show, that's going to draw attention to you. But there's nothing wrong with bowing down before him and kneeling. You know, that's more of a humility. Like, I'm not even worthy to be here right now, but I get to be in your presence. And that's what heaven's going to be like, is we're going to experience God's presence, and it's going to be so powerful that we're just going to kneel before him. And whatever we have, we throw it at his feet. It's not, yo, look at me and jump. I mean, I'm sure there's going to be a time for being joyful and excited and dancing and music, but You know, it's when you're in his presence, it should be a humble a humility. We should bow down and kneel before the Lord, our maker, right? He made us. He's the potter, and we're the clay. He's the artist. He designed us. It says Philippians, okay. So I do have a thing pointing to Philippians 2. So let's read Philippians 2 real quick. I'm just going to turn there. You don't have to turn there. It's just a couple verses. Philippians 2, verse 9. It says, therefore, God has also highly exalted him and given him a name above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. So God has exalted him. He's given him name above every other name. That's why when you hear someone use Jesus' name in vain, they just use it as like a curse word or just to fill a sentence or a pause or whatever. I don't know about you guys, but I feel it inside of me, and it's not in a good way. It's like, ow, I don't think God likes that. If he created us to worship him, and you know, his name is above all of our names, of every name, and we're using his name as a curse word, I don't think he likes that. I know he doesn't like that. It says in verse 11 that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. So there's going to be a time where we're going to have to face him, and hopefully, you know, we've lived our lives how he wants us to, or else we're going to have to answer for the things that we didn't do for him. So, for he is our God, back in Psalm 95:7, it says, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. I mean, that's pretty self-explanatory. He's our God. If you believe in Jesus and you've accepted him into your life, he's yours. He's our God. We can hold to that. We can stand on that. And know that we are his people and in his pasture, what he has for us. He created the earth for us, right? And it was supposed to be there's a lot of things that we can enjoy about creation. You know, mountain. I'm sorry, as I get older, I really enjoy creation more. I think I just didn't really appreciate it as much. I didn't have the right perspective. But there are things on earth that we can enjoy. Brian likes to hike a lot. He's taken that up. And if you were to ask him, I'm sure it's been a really pivotal point in his life where now he has something where he can, not only is it good for him physically, but I think it's also good for him spiritually. I've been able to see it in his life. So I think it's important that we go out and we enjoy God's creation, because he has it for us. Just like heaven, he's created heaven for us as well. And he says that we are the sheep of his hand. So he's protecting us. He's our shepherd. So today, if you hear his voice, says, do not harden your hearts in the rebellion, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, when your fathers tested me, they tried me. Though they saw my work, for 40 years I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So I swore in my wrath that they shall not enter my rest. Okay, so now we're kind of seeing a little bit of the other side, right? We come to God, we worship him, we feel his presence. It should be something that we should respond to with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for being such a good God. Thank you for being holy. Thank you for everything that you've given me. Thank you that I can, you know, go to the ocean and see the beautiful ocean. Thank you that I can climb up to the mountains and see the clouds and your part of your earth. You are great, and we should come down and we should respond in humility. But he says, today, if you will hear his voice, God is still speaking. Right? Yeah, this was written a while ago, but today is right now. He's still speaking today. I believe it with 100% certainty. God is still speaking. It says, if you will hear his voice, right? So we have to be listening for his voice. I struggle with this because I get so busy with life that I sometimes I have a hard time hearing his voice, right? And I'm reminded last night as I say, okay, I'm going to spend the rest of my evening reading and hearing from God. And he reminds me how good it is. Why has it been a week? Why has it been 2 weeks? Why has it been a month? Why has it been a year since you dedicated a time to me and just heard from me? He wants us to hear his voice. And the next verse he says, do not harden your hearts as in the rebellion. Those people that he led out of bondage, I'm sure they were very thankful and joyful at first. But as years went by, as trials came, uncomfortable, you know, they were having to rely 100% on God to provide for them. And he did. He did provide for them. He didn't give them any reason to doubt. But it wasn't what they wanted. It wasn't what they wanted, right? We all have certain expectations that we set. And we all know that it doesn't always pan out that way. It's not always what we want, how we want things to go. And there can be a bitterness, there can be a hardness that starts to creep into our hearts. And we can start getting hard towards things. We can start not prioritizing God in our life. Start putting him maybe second or third or fourth above other things, above work and money, right? I sat down with a financial advisor yesterday and she asked me, you know, what do I find important in life? You know, how do I look at money? How important is money to me in my life? And I stopped and I thought about it and I knew that I was faced right then and there. I was faced with a choice to answer her. I was either going to give her the truth that I know that God's shown me, or I was going to just kind of go with the flow, go with the crowd and say, yeah, money's great. I want to make more money. I want to be financially secure. But the truth was I stopped and I looked at her. I said, Lori, I said, money actually really isn't that important to me. I said, as long as I have enough money to pay my bills and my family's taken care of, I believe that God will continue to provide for me as he has. And it kind of caught her off guard a little bit, maybe not an answer she had heard a lot, but she received it. She understood it. I think there's an appreciation there. When you stand for the truth, stand for what you believe, and then you follow it out in your life. That was one thing that General Jerry Boykin said, is when you make those stands, the world is waiting. They're watching to see if you're going to follow through with what you say. Kind of a little side note there, but let's just receive it as what it was, as what it is. So hardening your hearts. Go ahead.
I don't want to minimize that point.
That's all right. I didn't mean to do it either, but it was just.
You made a choice in this verse that you're on.
Yeah.
Yeah. You pointed out something really big at the end of verse 7. Today, if you will, hear his voice. And yeah. There's a component to that where our will is involved in that. You know, we have some choice in that. We're going to hear. We have choice in
then worship.
Days,
yep.
We have choice in front, our hearts are going to be hard.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and it's a challenge. It's challenging to do this every day for the rest of my life. But it's a thing that when you do it, you remember how good God is, and he shows you, and he pours out his blessing on your life, and you just want to say thank you for that, and so to continue to do it.
Yeah. This is all about a relationship.
Yeah. Exactly.
How would that relationship be?
Right.
God's relationship the same way. He does sit down and talk to me. I mean, I know he's not physically there, but I mean,
right.
He's inside you. So if you want that relationship, you've got
to. Communication, you know, it's good in a lot of areas in life. I would say it's probably one of the most important things is in marriage relationship. You have to communicate. You know, as men, we're learning how to do that, and the women are also learning. The communicating is different, but also in the relationship that we have with our Creator, we have to learn how to communicate to Him.
No.
And he also understands that we can harden our hearts. You know, can you imagine the people that he had, they were set to go to the promised land, right? And he pulls them out of bondage, and he provides food for them, shelter, and they still harden their hearts. They want to go back. That's really a picture of our life. It can be a picture of our life where God can rescue us out of bondage, whatever the bondage that you are in, and we can experience his goodness when we first come to him. And when we first get saved, you'll hear a lot of people will be on fire. They'll be excited. They'll be all, oh, I want to live for Jesus. But then something comes, or just life comes, and that can start to slowly die out. And that scares me. And it's not to say life isn't seasonal and has its ups and downs. Right now, I'm in a season in my life where I have two children. I'm self-employed. I'm working a lot. I am doing ministry, and it's very crazy. But then I look at someone else's life, and they're even busier, right? So it's like, that's why we're going to talk about the rest here in a second. Let's get to the rest, because I don't want to say too long on hardening your hearts, but just keep that in mind, guys, that it says, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, put life there, right? As a day of trial in the life of a Christian person, right? There's going to be ups and downs. It says in verse 9, when your fathers tested me, they tried me, though they saw my work. I say this verse, this quote a lot, because Ken drove it into my mind, but God's, I think he's just quoting it from somebody else, but God's past faithfulness demands our present trust. So it's one of those things, it's simple, but it's profound, and it's something that's has stuck in my head. So God's past faithfulness, if we were to all take a second, look back in our life, see how faithful God was then, it should demand our trust moving forward. We should continue to trust him with our life. Why would we trust him at one point in our life and not continue to trust him in other areas of our life? So for 40 years, I was grieved with that generation and said, it is a people who go astray in their hearts, and they do not know my ways. So it's your heart. And I referenced last weekend at the men's conference, I think it was Mike McClure who's talking about we need to guard our hearts but we need to gird up the loins of our minds. We need to train our minds. We need to be educated in the word and what God says, because our hearts can deceive us. And it's the heart, we have heart issues, right? But if we know the truth about God's word, then we can lead our hearts. The world tells us to let our hearts lead us. Oh, follow your heart. No, it's the other way around. We should be leading our hearts. Our heart is deceitful and wicked, right? Our hearts, a lot of times, I just don't know why am I feeling hard right now? Why am I feeling this anger? A lot of times I don't even know. But that's where you have to remember, using your mind, look, Lord, please soften my heart. And it's hard to do. It's pride, right? We all struggle with pride. But he's going to bring you to that place, whether it's shortly after or years later. You're going to get to that point where you're going to get humbled and you're going to get broken, guaranteed. So I would just say it's easier just to get there sooner. But he points out the reason why is because they were astray in their hearts and they didn't know his ways, right? They were concerned about their own needs. Where are we going to go? Where's my food, right? How am I going to live? What am I going to do? You know, program, addiction programs where people go in with nothing, and they have nothing, and they get broken. A lot of the question is asked, where do I go? Where do I go from here? Well, God, you got to remember, God's brought you here. He's poured into you in this addiction program for 9 months. He's going to continue, right? What God started, he's going to finish. That's a bad paraphrase, but... And the Holy Spirit starts stuff in us as well. He puts that fire in us, that desire. And if we continue to seek him, he's going to keep it going. We're not going to die out. We go to Jesus for our source of power. So that's the thing, is abiding. Brian talked about it. I was going to do this study on abide. abiding. It's the next chapter in John that I'm going to be doing in the addiction ministry. But then I kind of thought about it a little bit more, and God brought me here, but it's abiding is what it comes down to. Is abiding means to dwell. He talks about a dwelling place earlier, right? So we're supposed to dwell. We're supposed to hang out. We're supposed to be in God's presence frequently. We shouldn't just do it once a week. Throughout the week, we should all, as men, be trying to find time, which can be hard to do, but if we understand the importance of it, we should be looking to find time to dwell with God, to abide in Him, to stay close to Him. Gird up your loins of your mind. That's an inside joke. So how do we get to know someone, right? And I kind of touched on that already, you know, because they said they didn't know His ways. And how do you get to know someone on, like, work, family, friends? When you meet somebody, how do you get to know them? You spend time with them, right? You ask questions. You learn about them. What do they like to do? What's important to them in their life? You spend time with them. That's the same thing with God. If you feel like, you men here this morning, if you feel like you haven't heard from God recently, maybe it's been a while, maybe you haven't, think about how much you input. I know it's kind of legalistic in a sense, but how much you input is how much you're going to get out. So it's not all about works-based, but our works should testify of His goodness, right? So how much are you putting in to God? How much are you spending time reading? How much are you spending time worshiping? How much are you spending time listening? That's what I struggle with. I can sing songs to Him. I can read. But if I'm not listening, a lot of times I struggle with listening. Listening because he wants to speak. Today is the day He wants to speak to us. So how do we get to know Him? We spend time with Him. And in verse 11, He says, I swore in my wrath, they shall never enter my rest. Now He's talking about the people that went astray, that were hardened. Their hearts were hardened. They decided that they weren't going to trust and follow after God. They weren't going to abide. They thought that their old life was better, and they wanted to go back to that. But God speaks about this rest, and I want to wrap it up with this rest. Something that as we get older, as I get older, as I mentioned, work, kids, family, ministry, everything that goes on in life, death, you know, hurricanes, disasters, storms of life, things get crazy. There is a rest. And I was really reminded in the creation in Genesis, where God created the world, He created that seventh day of rest. I don't think it was for Him. God doesn't need to rest. It was for us. It was so that we would remember while we're on this earth that, yes, we're called to work, but we also are called to rest too. And I think a lot of times we can get so focused on work. I just got to work. I got to make more money. I got to do this. I got to get this fence up. And we forget that we easily burn out. And I speak that because I've done it. And I've already spoke on this in other men's studies, but it's just a common thing. It's a reminder that we can work so hard and we can be so good at our job and good at what we do, but then we get burned out spiritually, or we just don't have enough energy to read, or we don't have, you know, we get so burned out. So it is, God created that day of rest for us. So take a day out of the week and rest. And then rest is also something that we can look forward to in heaven. Right? We work our whole lives. Sat down with a financial advisor yesterday, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be retiring anytime soon. So we put some hypothetical numbers out there for when I could retire, but I'm thinking it's going to be much longer than that. And I see as a young man, I see older men that have worked their whole life, and they retire, and they have to come back out of retirement, and women as well, that have to come back out of retirement, not because they didn't have a good retirement plan. It's just because the way we're going, you know, Social Security and things like that, they have to continue to work. And I don't necessarily think that that's how God wanted it. You know, he does want us to rest. How does that look to me, you know, knowing that I may never get that rest, that golden period in my life where I don't have to work anymore, as far as, you know, providing the money and financial. So we should be looking forward to that rest. And so I'm going to finish up in Hebrews 4, which is cool because this is where I started. This is one of the places I started. And I was going to do the study out of here, but man, I tell you what, God is, sure, go ahead before I finish it up. Yeah.
That whole cycle.
Yeah.
And we're a creature of habit where we'll set up an hour in the morning to do a devotion, or in the afternoon, or we'll read our Bible at noon time. Whatever. Whatever is people's thing.
Mm-hmm.
So you've dedicated this hour. You read your scripture, you pray, and then you go about your business. And probably, at least for me, there's a point in time where that hour is ending, or to whatever that time frame is, it's starting to end, then your brain starts to switch. And it starts to go into work mode, or mode, or whatever mode it is. So now your that dedicated time frame has gotten shortened because your brain is switching. What he showed me was I dedicated a certain, I had a plan of 7 days, or whatever that time frame was. For me, the hike ended short because of what God had done to me in that process. But the point was, is it took a certain amount of time beyond what I was willing to give. So I guess what I'm saying is we need to be, to truly, we all know God. We all know his word. You know, Satan knows God.
Yeah. Yeah, I see the physical aspect of it, you know, physically want to just run a mile, or want to, you know, just, we set those, well, I want to do this, but it's the point when you push past that. Sometimes it helps when we come alongside each other and we give each other a little bit of a boost. You can do this, a little bit of encouragement. Sometimes it's just a personal thing as well. You have to set it in your mind. Lord, get me to that point where I'm out of my comfort. I have to rely on you. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that, Nick. So let's wrap it up because I do have my son has a soccer practice here soon. So I'm going to wrap it up in Hebrews 4. And I was super blessed to come back to this and hear God just kind of remind me. Because that can be a little bit of a hard thing to swallow, some of the things that we've talked about. So Hebrews 4. It says, therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, but the word which they heard did not profit them. And I have this underlined, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For he who has believed do enter that rest, And he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. How cool is that? Everything's all been laid out already, guys. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way. And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again, in this place, they shall not enter my rest. So there's a place, guys. There is a rest. That should be something that we look forward to for those that have been living for God for a lot longer than I have and have been working for a lot longer than I have. I'm already getting burned out a little bit, right? I can't imagine some of your lives how, you know, you have to keep pushing forward. And I think God, just the promise that there is a rest, right? We have that hope in Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit, our helper, comforter. We have his word. We still have guidance. We still have the tools and everything we need to get through it, to run that race. But just know that there is a rest for you guys. If there's anyone here that's just really just worn out on everything, work, church, you know, relationships. Sometimes, you know, ministry can burn you out too. You can be really just burnt out on everything. Just remember, guys, that there is a rest. God created it for us. He says, since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience. So on the other hand, you know, there are some that aren't going to enter God's rest. They aren't going to be able to experience rest, God's peace and rest on this earth, because they've disobeyed. They don't know God. They don't follow his ways. They don't spend time with him. This is, and again, he designates a certain day, saying in David, today. I love how he brings this back. He goes, today, after such a long time, as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. It's like, it's almost like we're reading it in the New Testament. Hebrews is, you know, it's said that Paul wrote it, I think, Paul or Peter. I want to say Paul, but it's still being spoke, you know, since the Psalms were written. You know, it's still being reminded, today is the day. He says, for if Joshua had given them rest, Joshua was the one that ended up leading, I believe, after Moses, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. So there's another day, right? It wasn't that, you know, going through the wilderness of life, the ups and downs in life, I want that rest right now. No, there's another day. There's an eternal rest. There's eternal rest where we'll be in his presence forever. There remains, verse 9, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And then verse 11, let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Let us therefore be diligent, right? Again, sounds like another action word, right? There's something that we need to do. We need to be diligent. We need to be, I'm just repeating myself now, but we need to be seeking him, spending time with him, worshiping him, giving thanks, having that perspective, pushing that, going further than what we want to go, as Nick mentioned. And that's cool. Wow. Because that's what God has me doing right now. I don't have my notes. He's got me going further than what I want to do. He's got me in Psalms. And how cool is that? That just came to me. Wow, thank you, Lord. Yeah, let's just pray. I don't know what else. There's nothing else to add there. Well, I guess there is. Go ahead.
Paul said, I die daily. And I think as believers here,